In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin. And I'm in the studio with Matt and Sarah. They've been sharing with us their life journey. They have been married for 2 years. God gave them a wonderful gift, Miles. But Miles died within 5 days, and it was a difficult tragedy for both of them. But then, 4 months later, they're pregnant again with Paul. And as far as you can tell, the pregnancy's going well. It's time for Paul to be born. As far as you know, he's going to be a healthy baby boy. In the back of your mind, there is the experience and the past tragedy and a little bit of fear, but you are walking in faith, trusting the Lord through this process. Walk us through what happened when Paul was born.
So on June 8th, 2017, Paul was born. He was born a big, healthy boy with no signs of anything wrong.
So a great relief.
Yes.
You're feeling an answer to prayer.
Yeah.
And that first day that he was born, you know, with Miles, within hours of him being born, everything happened. So we hadn't made it to a first night with a baby boy on this side of heaven. So we were just thrilled for that first night with Paul.
Was it kind of like a countdown? In other words, the first 24 hours, because you had that parallel experience. So you knew if you made it past the first 24, things are looking good.
Yeah, actually, it was the first 2 hours. It was actually 2 hours after Miles was born that he coded. So my doctor at the time, those first 2 hours after Paul was born, she had a nurse sitting at my bedside the whole time watching him. And that was a great comfort. And then there was the 5 day mark of he made it past 5 days. So I actually remember being in complete awe every day after those 5 days and before then that Paul was actually here. It was completely surreal to get to have a little one whose whole body functioned. And again, like we said, the Lord definitely used our brief time here with Miles to refine our perspective of getting to be parents.
And let me add something here. I think it's important to pause here. The trials of the past is not something you suppressed. It's not something you ignored. It became a part of you.
Yeah.
You're living your life in light of that. Yeah. But you're not paralyzed by it. You've grown with it. But it's still a part of you.
Yeah.
And that's healthy. I think that's really neat to see that you've embraced it and you're moving forward with it.
Yeah. And to be honest, we were actually excited over the fact that with raising up Paul, we had a really wide open, easy door to getting to share the gospel with him and to get to share about heaven because he already had a brother living there.
So that eternal perspective was already an active part of our lives. It wasn't something that maybe we understand, maybe we don't. It was something that we needed to believe, know was going to be true, know was true. You know, we know that that's where Miles was. Like Sarah shared, it's something that we wanted to raise Paul with to teach him as a part of the reality of this life and in our eternal life.
You know, I'm so glad you guys brought this up because I'll be honest with you, most of us do not live in the present with an eternal perspective. But God had brought these changes in your life where that's how you thought every day.
Yeah.
How does that change the day-to-day life? It makes you kind of change your priorities, doesn't it?
It does. It completely changes what you see as important. I'd rather have some chaos in my home, some messy walls.
And like for me, it helped me to want to be present at home. I was career oriented, but I didn't want to suddenly become an 80 hour a week worker because home and my family was something that was precious. And with my personal experience, it was scarce. It wasn't guaranteed. I didn't want to assume that they would be there after I'm done with this 5 month project. I'll get back to them. I didn't know that they would always be there. So I wanted to be there every night and be present in their lives.
So suddenly a crying baby, maybe a messy diaper, an inconvenience was very minor.
We were so glad to not be sleeping at night. It was a gift. Whereas before we would have probably been a little frustrated by it. But now it was a joy. We were so glad for that.
You know, I probably shouldn't share this on the radio, but I've shared this with my wife. I remember as a dad, after the 2 weeks, I can't wait to go back to work because the crying and the tiredness and having to do my job was too much for me.
It is a lot.
But what you're telling me and what the Lord has brought into your life was that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And meaning that being tired and all those things are nothing. That the concern should just be thankfulness and gratitude for the each extra moment.
Yeah.
Because you've learned that that moment is not necessarily going to be there.
Yep.
So you were really living fully.
Yeah.
You were experiencing abundant life.
Yep.
Because you realize what really matters.
Exactly. It also directed our awareness towards God's purpose for our lives while we're here, and that being to bring Him glory. So in everything that we do, getting to console a crying baby or whatever it is, that it is for His glory. And that made us more intentional about how we used our time together as a family and a time with Paul. So sharing God's word with him, even when he was only 6 days old.
So let's fast forward, because something happens with Paul.
Yeah. So Paul was a very active baby boy, and I remember him already scooching around by the time he was 3 months old. Then when he was 4 months old, Paul came down with some sort of virus that led to a 3-day hospital stay. So after him having just about every test and scan that the doctors could think of, nothing unordinary was found, and we went home feeling rather relieved.
So you had the test, and Paul is okay.
Yeah.
He comes home.
Yeah, so we went home feeling very relieved. Little did we know this experience was the beginning of Paul's body beginning to fail him, which it would just a few short months later.
So when did you find out that there was something wrong?
In February 2018, we thought he had an ear infection. We started treating him for that.
Which is normal.
Is normal. We thought, you know, this is what the pediatrician says. We're going to treat him. But then on February 5th, 2018, Paul had a major heart attack just 10 minutes after arriving at Children's Hospital at the ER. That day was very traumatic. It was very shocking. We still struggle with those memories. Paul was hospitalized for about a month after his heart attack, while doctors monitored him and tried to understand what was going on, tried to help him improve.
So just to clarify, you were at the hospital for a regular appointment?
We took him to his doctor, his regular pediatrician, because his ear infection wasn't getting any better. It was getting worse. And at that time, while we were at the doctor's office, his breathing had become pretty labored. So at that time, they took us to Children's Hospital by ambulance.
So really, in God's providence, he had already put you with a doctor.
Yes.
And so when this happened, you were able to get the immediate help that you needed.
Yeah.
So that's a small hand of God providentially
being there
for you.
We've mentioned that to each other, that this didn't happen at our home, and we're very thankful for that, because it would be even harder. But it was, you know, what we're going to share is already very, very hard. It's just...
So now all the feelings are coming back. I mean, as soon as you realized it was a heart attack, did you know right away?
No. So we had no warning, no heads up. We were in the ER room. I was in the ER room with Paul.
So you're just waiting on the doctors to tell you something's wrong.
Yeah, we're waiting on the doctors. So I'm just sitting there consoling him, singing to him, talking to him, when all of a sudden I noticed something was wrong, and I called the doctors over, and they came running, and they coded him. He was having a massive heart attack there.
So all the feelings come back.
Every feeling came back. It was reliving what we went through 2 years prior with Miles.
And for those who can't see, Sarah, this is your worst nightmare.
It was. Yeah.
And at the moment, all you could think about was?
I remember just crying out as they're resuscitating him, doing compressions. Just please save my baby. I can't go through this again.
And so this trial brings you truly to the end of yourself again.
It did. Yep. Yeah.
And Matt, you're there with Sarah. What's going through your mind?
Just the same thing. You know, it was massively overwhelming. It was very traumatic. It was a lot, all in a very short amount of time. We were just trying to keep up with what the doctors were doing, with what the status was, with what would happen next.
And you're trying to be the calm dad, right, supporting Sarah? Or were you losing it too?
I was absolutely losing it. That was, it was awful. It was very awful just watching them trying to help and not knowing what was going to happen.
And yeah. You're reliving the memories as well, feeling doubly helpless. Let me ask you a tough question. At this moment, are you starting to doubt God a little bit? Are you getting angry or?
So honestly, I never doubted God. I did become angry this time. Yes. At the time, I couldn't understand why God would allow us to go through this with our child again. And I was mad that we had to go through it again.
And you told God that.
I did.
And he didn't strike you down.
No, praise God.
Instead, he stayed by your side.
Yeah.
Gave you time. So the doctors take Paul. At that time, did you know what was wrong? Did they have an explanation of why he had a massive heart attack?
They knew he had a heart attack. They knew that his heart was sick and it needed support and needed a bypass machine to help it do its job and keep him breathing and keep him living.
So off to the machines, being all plugged in.
Yeah.
He's on life support, ICU.
Cardiac ICU. Where he had 12 surgeries in those 20 days.
Wow.
Yep. So for each day, they were trying to figure out what's going on. Is he going to get healthy on his own? Will he need a transplant? Will he qualify for a transplant?
So every day is a new story, a new explanation,
yep.
More confusion, lots of questions unanswered.
Yep.
And you're just trying to, you're praying,
yeah.
You're crying, you're remembering Miles, you're fearful,
yep.
And yep. You're waiting.
We're waiting, yeah. And it wasn't until 2 weeks of him being in the cardiac ICU when some possibilities started to arise of what might be the root cause of what went wrong.
Well, we're out of time, and we're going to pick up at this moment 2 weeks later. And again, thank you for bearing your souls and sharing this journey with us. And I know that we are with you, and I feel like I'm a part of your life now.
Yeah.
And so I pray as you continue to share this story, for strength. This is not an easy thing to do. And for you who are listening in, pray for Matt and Sarah. And give this story to others that you may know who need to understand that trials are difficult, but God will be there even if you're angry and don't understand. We look forward to continuing the story. Until then, pray, obey God's word, and stay close to Him no matter what the situation is.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.